Jesus Christ, we thank you for this blessed day. We thank you for your unction. Our prayer is that you take us deeper and deeper, and Lord, you cause us to thirst more for you as the deer pants after the waters. Oh Lord, our soul pants after you. Bible says that the thirsty shall be satisfied. Satisfy us, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let us overflow that others may drink in the blessed and mighty name of Jesus. I want you to pray and say, Father, speak to my heart this morning. And let your word bless my heart and my life. And let my life bless others. Say it again. Say, Father, speak to me through your word.
Father, speak.
Let your word bless my life.
Let your word bless my life.
Let my life bless others.
Let my life bless others.
Can you lift up your voice and pray that in 30 seconds? That the Lord will speak to you by his word. Bible say that, and the Lord revealed himself unto Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Saying that, Lord, take cold. No, it's not my son cold. Amen. It's when we become so bent by the choices of life so that we feel there is nothing that can come out of us. We, become like coal. And then we say that, Lord, take this coal that nothing good can come out of it, and then cleanse my lips and then make me something. Hallelujah. Don't you think it's a powerful prayer? Yeah, it is a very powerful prayer. And it is important that, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we understand the lyrics that we sing, because they are prayers that have been put into a song. Amen. That's why sometimes when we sing, the move of a spirit comes, because it is a prayer. And every song that we sing in this house is very spirit-filled. So that is why I always want the lyrics to be on the board, so that we can flow. Sometimes you may not even know the song, but once you see the lyrics alone, it can stir up something inside of your heart. Hallelujah. Now remember the five prophetic words that the Lord gave us for this month. It is important that we remember them and then we run with them. Number one, the Lord said, there's going to be speed in life and destiny. Do you believe it? Okay. I have it written here. I'm running with it. Number two, the Lord said that the number one means that every area of your life that there is delay, the Lord is going to compress it, time, so that there can be speed. Hallelujah. Acceleration. And then number two, the Lord said that there's going to be accuracy and spot on decisions. No more try and error. Shall I go here? Shall I go there? Shall I go there? When you read Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16, he says that when you get to the crossroad and you don't know what choice to make, he says, stand still and then ask those that are ahead, which one is the right way? That's here the Lord. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path. Okay, when you get there, you are confused, don't know what to do. He said, ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. But the people said, no. When we get there, we will decide on our own. So there's going to be accuracy and spot on decisions. No more try and errors, because try and errors elongate the journey. It makes the journey longer than necessary, and it makes us spend a lot of resources in the journey of life, which we shouldn't spend. And then number three, the Lord said there will be less input but maximum results. Less input. You do a little, the Lord amplifies it. And then number four, the Lord said there will be favor that delivers what a lifetime of labor cannot give. And then number five, the Lord said authority in the spirit and in the physical. And that is why I'm excited about all the testimonies I'm hearing about the prayer spirit jumping on people and all that. And I pray that God will give you what it takes for your authority in the spirit to be established. When your authority in the spirit is established, your physical authority over the issues of life is guaranteed. But when your spiritual authority is not assured, you know, even though you have it, if it is not assured by reason of exercising your authority, you are not assured of it, then many things physically can battle against you. But this month, that will not be our story. Amen. And this month, our theme for the month is grace for greater works. I'm already excited about it. Hallelujah. Grace for greater works. God bless you. It's a good time to give a clap. Because brothers and sisters, what we need in life as a believer is grace. In the other side of the equation, the worldly people, they go for all manner of support. Hallelujah. Some people are dependent on other people. Some people are dependent on politics. If my party comes to power, if this party comes to power, it will favor me and all that. To them, that is what is going to accelerate their lives for them to fulfill destiny. But all that the believer needs in life, ladies and gentlemen, two things that the believer needs in life in order to fulfill destiny. These are the two things: the truth and grace. The truth and grace. The truth and grace. And that is why when you read the book of John chapter 1, and then when you start, let's start from verse number 12. He talks about Jesus. What Jesus? He said that, but as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. Now, what is that power that he gave them to become the sons of God? Even to those that believe on his name. Now, look at verse number 13 and 14. He gave them power to become the sons of God. So, what is the power that he gave them that made them become sons of God, that made them become supernatural in the natural, that made them take control. Now, verse number 12 says that that power that came to them defied their natural instincts. So he said that they were not considered now as born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, like they are not seen. Now, this scripture, give me the verse number, the verse number 13. Actually, the meaning of verse number 13, when Bible says that, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He's saying that the power, okay, the power in verse number 12 that he gave them to become the sons of God, Bible says that that power took them from the will of man. Like, okay, I am the son, I am born as a son to Mr. and Mrs. Ajapon, okay? Now, when that power comes and I receive it, I graduate from just being just a human son to becoming a God son. Are you understanding it? It's like there is a superimposition upon you. So you are no more a natural, normal human being. You are now a supernatural being. So that power came to defy the will of man, the will of blood, you know, the will of the flesh, and then made us of God. Okay, like now we know you as Agnes, but now when that power comes, even though we know you as Agnes, you are now more than Agnes. We will see you physically as Agnes, but you operate as a daughter of God. That is what verse number 13 is saying. So there is power that he gave us. Now, what is that power? Now, verse number 14 talks about that power. He said, the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Now, look at the power. The power is full of grace and truth. So, the two things that you and I need in order for us to establish our dominion as sons and daughters of God is grace and truth. It's grace and truth. It's grace and truth. When you have these two things, brothers and sisters, you are untouchable by the enemy. Situations can come, but you overcome it. Yeah. Grace and truth. Grace and truth. But you see, in our current dispensation, people have skewed the equation. So people have taken the grace aspect and then silenced the truth. You can't have the grace without the truth. You understand? Yeah. And before the dispensation became amplified, people were walking in the truth without the grace. So it was like in the Christendom, the mandate of the law, even though we were in the grace, the mandate of the law was also breaking the neck of the people. Now, what these two things does is that grace helps us to receive and understand and walk with the truth. Do you understand? Grace helps us to receive, understand, and walk with the truth. Without grace, it will be difficult for you to operate the truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the truth also, what the truth also does for the grace is that the truth pushes the grace. Without the truth, you can't... It's like when we were, I remember there is a course in chemistry. I mean, chemistry, they have something that is called equilibrium. When the equation is in equilibrium, it means that the rate of reaction from the left to the right is equal to, is equal to the rate of the reaction from the right to the left. You understand now? So grace complements truth, truth complements grace. You can't have grace without the truth. But now, many people are teaching the grace without the truth. And that is why there are many casualties in the kingdom. And that is why many people can't establish their dominion over situations. Because if you are taught the grace without the truth, you won't have power. It is the truth that generates power. Do you understand it? So you receive the truth. And then the grace empowers you to live the truth so that you become a son of God, a child of God. If you have the grace and then you don't understand the truth, what are you going to use the grace for? It's like having gas and then you don't have a car. Is the gas going to move you? The gas can't move. You got to put the gas in the car. And then the car can now move. So the two need each other. Praise the name of Jesus. So this month, we are attempting to study a little portion of the grace for greater works. And brothers and sisters, the whole of this month, I need you to be very, very attentive to the word and the teachings. Because in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 21, Bible talks about how God revealed himself or appeared unto Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 21, Bible says, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." So anytime the word is coming, it is the Lord revealing himself unto us. It is the Lord revealing an aspect of himself to us. Sometimes the word of the Lord will reveal the dimension of God giving us order. Sometimes it will reveal the dimension of God giving us directions or instructions. Sometimes it will reveal the aspect of God admonishing us, encouraging us. So anytime the word of the Lord is coming, your portion or your position must be, Lord, which aspect of your life or which aspect of you are you revealing to me through the scriptures? And then you receive it and then you walk with it. Praise the blessed name of Jesus. So now, let us start quickly. Now, understand that Jesus spoke about us doing greater works. Jesus said that when he was gone and the Holy Ghost comes, we are going to do greater works. Can we read from John chapter 14? And let's read 11 and then 13. 11 all the way to 13. John 14 verse 11 all the way to 13. "Believe me that I am in the Father, and that the Father is also in me." In case you cannot believe me for this statement, he said, "Believe me for the very works' sake, the things that you have seen me do." Verse number 12 and 13. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he also do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Somebody say, "Greater works." "And whoever," look at verse 13, "and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So, the end time church, which is the church that we find ourselves in, I'm not talking about Holy Hill Chapel, I'm talking about the body of Christ in the end time, is supposed to be a church or a body of Christ that does greater works. That does greater works. And I remember one time when I was talking about greater works, I told you that you can't know greater works until you know great works. Okay? Greater comes after great. So we got to know great works. What are the great works that Jesus did? For which case he says that when we believe in him, we shall do greater works. Now, John 10:10 talks about the great works that Jesus did. You see, John 10:10, we are building a very solid foundation so that when we start moving, you understand it. So in John 10:10, this is the great works that Jesus did. "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Somebody say, "Having life and more abundantly." This is the great works that Jesus came to do. So in other words, having life and having it more abundantly is bringing solution to the problems of the world. There was never a time that Jesus appeared at a place and there was a problem and he left the problem. The only time that he appeared at a place and there was a problem and he left the problem was when he entered into his own hometown and they didn't receive him. They couldn't receive him as the sent man of God to them. So Bible says that he only touched a couple of them and then healed them. But then he could not do mighty works. That was the only time. So Jesus, the mandate of Jesus was that he was supposed to be a solution bearer in the generation that he found himself in. When he came, all that he was preaching was that repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. And the word repent means change your mind. Change your mind from the way you are thinking. Because the kingdom of God is here. And the kingdom of God is the, listen to me very well, is the solution center of God amongst men. So all that Jesus was saying was that the way you think that the answer that you need for this issue, the answer that you need for that issue is so far away. One day Jesus met the woman, the encounter at Sychar. He met the woman, the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. When he met the Samaritan woman at the well side, the Samaritan woman said, "Are you greater than our fathers, Abraham, who said that we should go to Jerusalem and worship?" And Jesus said, "The time is coming." Now listen very well. Jesus said, "The time is coming when you will not have to go all the way to Jerusalem to worship. For the Spirit will be in you, and they that worship me, him, they that worship God, will worship him in truth and in spirit." Praise the name of Jesus. So Jesus was talking about the fact that a time was coming when they were so empowered, they will become solution to the problems of the world. The world will not have to chase answers to a certain location. Are you understanding it? So when the Lord talked about greater works, he was talking about you and I coming to a place where we become solution bearers. The Lord wants to deliver. In fact, the Lord has delivered solution to the problems of the world. But the challenge is that the careers of the solution are not manifesting and delivering it. Greater works, therefore, is having the solution to the problems of the world and delivering it. You can write it if you want to write it. What is greater works? Having the solution to the problems of the world and delivering it. That was the works that Jesus came to do. Now, the other dimension of greater works is that whatever Jesus did, now Jesus was geographically limited. You know, Jesus was limited geographically. But the New Testament believer cannot be limited geographically. We can be here and then our fragrance can be all over the world. Is that not so? Hallelujah. Oh, you don't believe that? Do you know that you can go on Facebook right now and then you'll be seen all over the world? Oh, you don't believe that? Yeah. So Jesus was talking about the fact that the greater works that we are going to do, whatever he did, the solution that he was professing, which was geographically limited, we will be able to profess it without it being limited geographically. That is why, brothers and sisters, you got to understand that you carry an answer that somebody in Canada can benefit from. You carry an answer that somebody in China can benefit from. And after today, it will be working effectively in Jesus' name. Do you believe it? Then shout a believing and receiving. Now, so listen to me very well. So the greater way Jesus was talking about is we professing solution to the problems of the world. Brothers and sisters, do you know that as you are seated there now, you are the reason why somebody is being kept alive? Many times people don't know that. The believer don't know that. Listen. I'll give you Matthew. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 11. And look at it very well. Today, I'm just giving the introduction, and then in the course of the month, we'll be buying into all the other aspects of it. Now, look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 11 very well. "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women," and this time, Jesus himself included, because he was born of Mary. "Among them," including the prophets, Elijah, Isaiah, Abraham, Moses, and all that. He said that, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven," he's talking about us now, "is greater than John the Baptist." Think about it. I love that. Think about it. Jesus is saying that the New Testament believer, which is you and I, the least, that means even if it was today that you became born again, you are greater than John the Baptist. Do you know why? Because you carry solution. Because you are the reason why somebody cannot die. Because you are the reason why your family is being preserved. Because you are the reason why that company is still being preserved. You see, sometimes we don't understand the power that when you are a son of God, listen, As we are here right now, we can put all the children together. Listen to me. We can put all the children together behind there. If Zoe is crying, Irama will be able to, without seeing her, Irama, you'll be able to know that, Zoe is crying. How I'll be able to know that, this voice is the voice of Amaris. I may be preaching, I'll be able to hear, as I'm even hearing God and saying the word of God, I'll be able to hear that, Beulah is shouting over there. Listen, when you are a son of God, you don't understand. When you are a son of God, it means that wherever you are spotted by the Father. And it is because of you that the place is secured. Was that not the reason why the Lord said he was not going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? He said that if I find 10 righteous people there, if I find 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, it means that if I find my sons, 10 of my sons dead, for the sake of my sons, I will spare the land. Is it not powerful? Yeah. So you see, greater works means that, Josephine, as you are sitting there, you may be the reason, and I don't even want to use the word you may. You are the reason why your family is preserved. Sometimes you may be the least in the place, but it doesn't change anything. It's not about position. It is about who you are. Praise the name of Jesus. Yesterday, I was talking to somebody, and I was telling the person was telling me how something was fighting, somebody was fighting him, and that, and that, and that. How the wife was fighting him, and this, and that, and that, and that. And I said, listen to me. Sometimes, the reason why the enemy will cause the people around you to fight you is because the enemy wants to get them. But you are the stumbling block. Do you understand? You are the stumbling block. So as long as you remain there, it is difficult for them to touch them. You are like a covering over them. When you read Genesis chapter 49, Genesis chapter 39, Pharaoh, Bible says that, Potiphar. Bible says that Potiphar realized that the hand of the Lord was upon Joseph. And because of Joseph, everything in his house prospered. Who was Joseph? Joseph was a slave. Jacob went into the house of Laban, and Laban said, I have known by experience that ever since you came into this house, everything about me has changed. Brothers and sisters, I am suggesting to you that you are the reason why that company is still doing well and existing. You may not know. You are the reason why that, you see, when you come to, you remember on Wednesday, I was talking about knowing who you are in Christ. When you understand you, who you are, and the portfolio you carry as a child of God, my goodness, you appear at a place the devil got to check out. You appear at a place the devil got to check out. Because you are not coming in your capacity. You are coming as somebody who the eyes of the Lord are upon, because you are a child of God. And you are supposed to be doing greater works. You carry the solution to the problems of your father's house. Carry the solution to the problems of your mother's house. You carry the solution to the problems of the area that you live. But the issue is that when we don't do what we are supposed to do, then the people around us go down the drain. That is why in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse number 19, Bible says that the earnest expectation of the creation awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. So, if all these things are so, I am the solution bearer to my father's house. I am the solution bearer to my mother's house. Sometimes you are the solution bearer to the family that you have even married into. Sometimes you enter into a certain family, and because of you, the family, the certain things that must go on in the family got to stop. Praise the name of Jesus. And so the enemy will begin to fight you. Now, the question is, how does this thing work? How do I manifest this greater works? Now, so I know that by being born again, Jesus said, I am greater than even John the Baptist. I am greater than Father Abraham. He said, anyone that is even least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than this. Now, how do I manifest greater works? That is when grace comes in. Do you understand it? So greater works means that you are a solution bearer. But the question, very important question, is how do I manifest greater works? How do I live that greater works? It's like telling somebody that You are the reason, or you are the breadwinner of the family. Now, the question he goes to ask is, how do I express that? I've been told, but how do I express it? Praise the name of Jesus. That is where grace comes in. Somebody say, that is where grace comes in. Because grace is the reason, or grace is why you will be able to manifest and express greater works. Let me give you a few, maybe about two or three, because in the course of the month, I'll be giving you more. For the purpose of this introduction, what is the concept of grace? And I give you two. Grace is being rewarded in place of punishment. Grace is being rewarded in place of punishment. What does that mean? Okay. Now, Van Dyke is my son. And then I buy an iPad for Van Dyke. And then Van Dyke destroys it. Okay. Maybe he's angry and he smashes it. Are you listening to me? He's angry and then he smashes it. Now, he knows that when I'm coming from work, I'm coming to punish him. Do you understand? For destroying it. It's not like it happened accidentally. He intentionally did it. So he knows that I'm going to punish him. And then, as I'm coming, instead of coming to punish him, I buy another iPad. And when I come, I said, listen, I got you a new one. Don't destroy this one. So I didn't only spare him from punishment, I also rewarded him. That is grace. We were not only spared from the punishment of dying and going to hell, we have also been rewarded by going to heaven. Oh, somebody didn't get that one. My goodness. Do you understand it? That is grace. Grace is being rewarded in place of punishment. Not only were your mistakes forgiven, but you were also given a reward that is greater than even the mistakes. Woo! And that is why the devil can't understand. So, we were not only supposed to be punished. The Lord forgave us our punishment. He forgave us the error. And instead of now saying that, okay, you've broken. Okay, I won't scold you. I won't punish you. But I won't give you another one. You even settle for that. You go like, wow. Hey, I'm good. I was thinking that I was going to be beaten. And then he comes and he says that, listen, I got you a new one. Isn't that powerful? Are you understanding the concept of grace? Being rewarded in place of punishment. The punishment was eliminated. And then the man went forward to give you more than you didn't even expect it. Let me give you a practical example. The prodigal son. When this young man came back to his father, all he was coming to say was that, Father, you know what he was coming to say? Father, forgive me, for I have sinned against heaven and against you. And then he said that, I'm not even worthy to be called your son again. I don't need any restoration. I don't need anything. All I need is your forgiveness. When he came, the man didn't only forgive him. The man didn't only cancel the punishment. The man did something that even his firstborn has never had. Threw a party for him. Gave him the fatted calf. Put a new dress on him. Put a new ring on him. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the concept of grace is bigger than what we know. Anytime you find yourself in a place where you know that punishment is due and you appeal for the grace of God, it doesn't only cancel the punishment. It brings you reward. And you know why it does that? God does that so that we will be able to understand his immeasurable love. When somebody is in love with somebody, everybody can say that this boy will kill you. But they say that this boy will take me to heaven. Everybody will say, this woman, you are dead. We are even afraid of her. Say that me, that is my honey. Are you understanding it? Somebody say grace. And say, I receive grace. So when you receive that grace, what is supposed to be a punishment is reverted, and instead of punishment, you receive a reward. Luke chapter 15, verse 20 to 24. When you read Luke 15, 20
20 to 24, when the young man came, he arose, came to his father. Look at that. When he came, he was a great way off. And his father saw him. And his father had compassion on him. And he ran, fell up his neck, and kissed him. Look at 21 to 24. And the son said unto him, Father, you deserve to punish me. When I look at all the things that I've done, Lord, when I look at all the things that even now I do, you deserve to punish me. I sin against heaven and earth and in your sight, and I am not even worthy to be called your son. Look at what he said. But, somebody say but. But the father said to his servants, don't let us only forgive him. Bring forth, somebody say, the best robe. Ooh, not just the robe. The best in the house. And put it on him. And restore his authority. The ring means authority. And restore his authority. And the shoe means possession. Everything that he has lost, restore it again to him. Am I talking to somebody who has received grace? Your attitude doesn't look like you have received grace. Because somebody who has received grace, and you look at what you deserve, and it has not only been forgiven, but the Lord had gone forward to look at the authority. You, sometime you could do something and then the devil say, I'm going to kill you. This one is beyond what I taught you. Now, you are able to command that same devil and then he will run away. Do you know the concept of grace? You could do something, the devil look at you and say, this one, I didn't teach you, I'll kill you now. And today, by reason of grace, you are able to look the devil eyeball to eyeball and say, come out of here. And the devil is running away from you. You appear at a place and the enemy is checking out. You lay your hands on the sick and they are receiving recovery. This thing called grace is bigger than what we hear. This thing called grace is bigger than, well, I sin, and because of grace, it is bigger. If you understand the concept of grace, the two things that makes us the sons of God, the thing that is called the power to become the sons of God, grace and truth. If you understand the concept of grace, my goodness. Woo. Number two, I'll give you the second definition of grace in this concept. Remember I said for the whole of the month, I'll be giving you more the second concept. Now, okay, we didn't finish this one. But his father said, bring him. Now, verse number 23 to 24. Quickly. 23. And bring the fatted calf. Woo! Celebration. Somebody say celebration. Ah, and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For who? For somebody who deserves, like, before the father saw him. I mean, naturally, if it was in our days now, Dufie, before the father saw him, the father said, hey, do you see that guy coming? If you allow him in here, all of you, you lose your job. Do you understand it? Naturally. But the father ran, met him, brought him in. The father didn't even listen to what he was saying. His plenty talk was not necessary for him. And then he said, for this my son was dead. Somebody say, I was dead. Man of God, Papa, me, ever since I was born, I have not sinned. I have not even done anything bad. I was born into a Christian home. My father was a preacher. My mother was a preacher. I'm a preacher's boy. I'm a preacher's girl. Listen, we are not called sinners because of what we have done. We are called sinners because of who we were. I got four children. Now listen to me. Let me explain that to you. I got four children. Same father, same mother. Two are Americans, two are Ghanaians. You don't understand. It's a major mystery. The two are not becoming Americans. But as I'm speaking now, two are Ghanaians, two are Americans. If an issue appears right now and they say we are evacuating Americans, you see trouble. Same father, same mother. Same father, same mother. So, they are not Americans because of who born them, but they are Americans because of where they were born. Do you understand? You are not a sinner because of what you have done. What did they do? They didn't do anything. They just woke up one day. They were born in Ghana. You are a Ghanaian. They were born in America. You are American. Same father, same mother. That is what I'm talking about. So it is not about what you have done. Well, I don't even steal. All these things that some people that go to church are doing, I don't do it. It doesn't change the fact that you are a sinner. You are a sinner because you are coming from the order of Adam. When you get connected, when you switch over to Jesus, then you are now a righteous person. Are you understanding what I'm saying? For this my son was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to marry. That is why when we become born again, there is Mary in heaven. God, there is full. And you see, heaven is so happy because heaven has gotten another opportunity to establish dominance on earth. Not just because you are born again, but they have found another opening to establish power on earth, to establish power in the Abrokwa family, to establish power in the Afo family, to establish power in the Cogren family, to establish power in Marshall's family. Somebody say, I am the avenue for power in my family. Say, I am the avenue for power in my vicinity. And that is what grace does. Number two, what is this concept of grace? For the purpose of our discussion today, grace is supernatural dope. D-O-P-E. Yeah. Which helps us to do what our natural tendencies cannot do. Yeah. When they take dope, I hope that is how they call it, right? It's false people, right? Yeah. Is that how they call it? Dope. When they take all those drugs and that's how they call it. Yeah. And then they're able to. Doping, yeah. Hey, listen. God can dope you, eh? Solo? God can dope you. I'm telling you, Johnny, God can dope you things that other people can do. You begin to do it with ease. Yeah. Places that people can go, you go there. Listen, watch me, watch me. How many of you have seen people that have been intoxicated with alcohol before? If somebody is intoxicated with alcohol, somebody drinks alcohol. Girl, sometimes things that they can't do with their natural eyes, they will do it all. Amen. They will say things. You'll be surprised. They look at you and they tell you their peace of mind. Later on, when they come out of the intoxication, they say, Solo, you know, I was intoxicated. And then they tell you that, you know, I was not operating in my normal senses. I was under the influence. When God dopes you, you are under the influence of grace. You speak with authority. You take charge. You dominate. And I'm talking about dominating the issues of life that put people down. How come Jesus, every place, I follow the grace over, every place that Jesus found himself, he was dominating. Whether it was in the morning, in the afternoon, on the sea, in the air, on the ground. How come you sit in an aircraft and you're afraid? Don't you understand the concept of grace? Doping. Somebody say, I've been doped supernaturally by grace. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Is somebody flowing with me? Hebrews 4 16. Look at that. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Somebody say grace to help. Come on. Say grace to help. We need something to help. Something to help. You are starting a business. You say, Lord, give me grace in this area. Sometimes people think that grace is for preaching. I, as a preacher, I need grace to preach. You, as a student, you need grace to study. You are a doctor. You need grace to operate there. He's a flight instructor. You need grace. Listen. When grace, congratulations anyway. Is it not powerful? He can instruct you and then after I will sign a certificate for you and they'll give you license as a flight, as somebody who can fly. He passed for the period that you were not seeing him. He was in intensive school. Let's give God all the praise for this powerful testimony. So if you want to learn how to fly, don't go far away. We have some in this house. We have a school in this house. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? Uh-huh. Now listen to me. Grace! Whatever you do in life, what you need is grace for it. Grace is supernatural doping. When God gives you that supernatural doping, hey, you can pray for grace for marrying. Sometimes people don't understand. Everything that you want to do with ease, ask for grace for it. You just ask for grace for it. Ask for it is supernatural doping. So God now takes you and then injects you with a shot of grace. Pow! And then all of a sudden you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 9 and 10. Look at how Apostle Paul put it. You guys are making me too excited this morning. He said, for I am the least of the apostles. He said, I am not even meet to be called an apostle because of the persecution that I persecuted the church with. I look at my background, the certificate that I don't have. I look at myself, the thing that I have done. I look at this, I look at that. Surrounding me are all things that cannot promote me. But, somebody say but, there was a shot that was given to me. And that shot is called the grace of God. Somebody say it is called the grace of God. Is somebody excited like I'm excited? He said, but by the grace of God. You are doing your master's, the thing looks Herculean. Hey, how can I be able to do? Say grace.
Grace. Yeah.
When you receive grace, my goodness, anything that looks impossible, what you need for it is grace. You understand? Yeah. Lord, why is it that nobody is proposing? Say, Lord, give me the grace. You receive that grace now, you see yourself surrounded by seven men. Now your problem will be, which one should I choose? Somebody say grace. Understand this concept of grace. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. Why? Because I labored more abundantly than they all. Number three, grace is the ability from heaven for us to do the works of the Lord. The ability from heaven for us to do the works of the Lord. Here we are, Prince. We are human beings. How can we do the things of the Spirit? Except by grace. Except by grace. Except by grace. Except by grace. Hallelujah. Say, I have been doped. And I have received ability by grace. Hallelujah. What does grace do for us in mighty works? Number one, grace helps us to be accountable. What gives us the ability to be accountable in life? Because you can easily decide not to be accountable. Because you have your life, right? What makes you and I accountable, even though we are free agents of life? You have your willpower. I got my willpower. You take your own decisions. I take my own decisions. What makes us accountable is called grace. When it comes to us, it gives us the accountability power. Because without accountability, you can easily go off. You'll be surprised. When you are not accountable, you can easily go off. You will be surprised. So grace, what grace does for us in order for us to do mighty works is that grace gives us the accountability power. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 to 2, he said, moreover, let a man so account of us as stewards of the mysteries of Christ. The mysteries of Christ. Moreover, it is required in stewards. It is a requirement in stewards that a man be found faithful, accountable. How can you be found accountable? Amen. When nobody is watching you, what will still let you be accountable? Say grace. Yeah. When nobody is there, when nobody, you see, I'm talking about accountability in respect of personal decisions that we take. Nobody is there, Ajua. What will let you say that, even though nobody is watching me, even though nobody will see this, even though nobody will ever know this, I will not do this. Somebody say accountability. Yeah. And it comes by grace. Praise the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, let your grace make me accountable. Is it a good prayer? Without accountability, you can easily go off and not mind anything. Accountability depletes discouragement. When you see people being discouraged, it means that they are not accountable. If you are accountable, you cannot be discouraged easily because you have a target. You see, accountability makes you have a focus, a target, and everything. Without it, anything goes. You don't mind anything. Praise the name of Jesus. So, accountability depletes discouragement. Write it. It depletes it. If you easily see discouragement in your life, understand that you need to be accountable so that you cannot be discouraged. Praise and bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, it comes in three ways, okay? Accountability, the grace for accountability operates in three ways. Number one, it challenges you to finish well. It challenges you. Accountability challenges you to finish well, okay? Because you know that there is a prize that you are looking for. It challenges you to finish well. Number two, it encourages those behind you. When you are accountable, the people that are looking up to you are encouraged. When you are accountable, and we are running a relay, I give the baton to Johnny. Johnny runs, he gives the baton to Pastor Charles. Pastor Charles runs, give the baton to our last leg, Kapu. And then Kapu takes it. Now, listen. He is looking up to me because I'm going to give it up to him. Do you understand? So he's looking up to me in case and then I gave it to him. And then who are you looking up to? Him. If John drops the baton, you see that you say hush. I didn't say anything, but you all said hush. Why? Accountability has been broken. Do you understand it? So now, all of a sudden, he is looking up to you. He throws his hands into the air. I didn't say anything. They said hush. He was supposed to receive the baton. He wasn't probably accountable enough to hold it well. He dropped it. The moment this one sees it, he said hush. He's discouraged. Is this carry? So grace for mighty works or greater works brings us accountability. And the second thing accountability does is that, the first thing accountability does is that it encourages you and I who are spearheading it. It encourages us to run the race. Now those that are looking up to us, it encourages them to have a focus. They have somebody that they are looking up to. And what accountability also does is that it inspires. In fact, it inspires those that are following us and encourages them. And then it gives us the ability to do more. We look forward to people that have done more. And then, now, I ran and I was first for the first leg, for the first 100 meters. When he takes it, he's not going to be second. Oh, he said, hey, he was first. I got to be first. If I was second, he will say, I got to be at least second or first. He also receives it. He said, I got to be second or first. You don't want to go down below where what you saw. Is that right? So it inspires and it causes those ahead to also celebrate us. Say a believing amen. Number two, what does grace do in our lives for greater works? It empowers us to avoid compromises. You can easily compromise. Mama Diko, it can be very easy for you to compromise. In life, we can easily compromise. What brings us to a place of not compromising is grace. Somebody say grace. It empowers us not to compromise. Yeah. Because one of the things that brings excess baggages in the journey of life is compromise. Listen, anytime you compromise, you receive one extra luggage. Hey, hallelujah. Shane, are you here? Anytime you compromise, you see, anytime you compromise in your walk with the Lord, because he has given you what it takes not to compromise. It is called grace. If you don't appropriate it and you compromise, what that compromise does is that it gives you one baggage. Can I have a lady's bag? God bless you. Now, Cole, come. let me use my flight instructor. So, Cole, you compromise. Receive this one. Along the journey. Can I have another bag? Wait, let me take this one. Then, let's go. Make one step. And then he compromises. Then you receive one. Take one more step. Then he compromises. He receives one. I want more bags or more bags. Thank you, mommy. Now, take another step. So he receives another bag. Hey, what an extra weight. Please, take another step. Then he receives another bag. Take another step. Somebody say compromise. Then he receives. Give me more. Hallelujah. He takes. Let me. Okay, Now, get this one. Get this two. Okay. Now, hold this one. Here is a flight instructor going to instruct somebody to fly. Look at his baggages. So many believers are carrying extra baggages. This is what Paul was talking about when he said excess weight. Excess weight. Excess weight. And that is why he said, the grace that was given to me, I did not take it, I did not abuse it. Because it is grace. You got here. When he got here, he could easily have said, I won't stop. But when he got here, he stopped. We gave him one bag. He got here, he stopped. We gave him one bag. Compromises cause you to pause. And anytime you pause, we give you another extra bag. So you are going all right, but you are delayed. It's like you are frustrated. So many believers come to a place of frustration. I am just frustrated. Why? I don't know. There are extra luggages. Some of the extra luggages are anger. Hey! Bitterness. Unforgiveness. Hallelujah. Little stealing. Somebody say me, I believe it, amen. Little gossiping. Hey! Little lust. Amen. I'm up preaching. Hallelujah. Little what? Drinking. One smoke. Hallelujah. Give me something. Don't lie. Tell me something. Okay, one lies. And then? Witchcraft. I love that. Father, we sanctify all these bags. It is none of those things. It was just for the purpose of. Do you understand what I'm saying? What grace does is that it stops us from compromising. Was this bag not beautiful? Hey, if I get it to blend with my color this morning, it will not be easy. If I only branch once. But grace will say, no. The journey will be too tiresome for you. And then he said, okay, I won't take it. And then you get here, they give you this. He said, I won't take it. They give you this. He said, I won't take it. Amen. So at a point, those that are even giving it to you will be discouraged. Because you are not taking it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody say grace. Not to compromise. Amen. And I pray, God bless you, take your seat. Let these bags be here. I'm praying over them. Anyone that has excess and extra baggages, in the blessed and mighty name of Jesus, may they be broken off you in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9. Quickly, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9. And then this, look at that. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So it is the grace that is sufficient for us in our vulnerable state of compromising. When you lift up your leg like this, you have to put it there. Then grace pushes it back. He said, keep it here. Amen. Baba, why is it that when I lifted my leg, I didn't only step in, I stepped in three times. It is because you decided to step in. Hallelujah. But there was grace there. You could have. Somebody say you could have. Let me tell you something. There is never a believer who stepped into excess luggage that you can say that I didn't know what happened. You know what happened. Except you don't have the Spirit of God. But the Spirit, you understand? The Holy Ghost will start from your heart. Hey, he'll be giving you all the red flags. All the red flags. This one is a red flag. He said, you put it down. I'll control, I'll contain. Then he'll show you another red flag. He said, I'll contain. So you, by the time you get to the last red flag, there will not be any more red flags. So now you go and then, now you finish and he said, I don't even know what, you know. Amen. Somebody say, you know. Say, Lord, have mercy. Amen. Number three. What does grace do to help us to do greater works? Number three, it empowers us to stay focused. It empowers us to stay focused. What makes us focus on the journey of life is when we are empowered with grace. The greatest strategy of the enemy is to get us distracted. D-I-S-T-R-A-C-T-E-D. Distracted. What will keep us on focus with all the noise and all the destructive elements around us to still keep us focused is grace. When Peter was looking at Jesus, the container of grace, he was able to walk on the sea. When he was distracted to the noise, when he was distracted to the boisterous nature of the wind, he started sinking. You will not sink in Jesus. I said you will not sink in Jesus. I speak it prophetically in Jesus' name. You will not sink. What grace does is that it helps us to focus. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 to 27. Write it quickly. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Know ye not that anybody who ran in a race, run all. Many people will be running, but only one received the prize. So run. That means keep focused that you may receive your crown. Give me the next verse. And every man that strive for the master, anyone that want to achieve the goal that God has set for them, he is temperate in all things. It means you are self-controlled. Watch me. You are self-controlled in all things. Now, even those that do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we receive an incorruptible crown. Verse 26, I therefore so run. Glory, do you see it? Glory, are you watching it? It's important too. I therefore so run. Mamadiko. Not as uncertainly. I don't also fight as one that beats the air. You are fighting with somebody. And then, sir, stand up. And then you are fighting with somebody. And then, come here. Be quick. And then as you are fighting, you have closed your eyes like the way women fight. The person they are fighting is here. But she's closed her eyes. I'll beat you. But fighting in the air. Somebody say, I will not fight in the air. God bless you. So it is grace that keeps us focused. Number four, quickly, it keeps you connected to the source. Jesus is full of grace. When grace comes, you are connected to the source. And it is only when you are connected to the source that you can be profitable. John chapter 15 and verse number 5 downwards. Look at John 15, verse number 5 downwards. John 15, verse number 5 downwards. He said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Verse number 5. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do what? Now listen. He said that we are the branches, right? The branches are connected to the stem. And the stem is inside the root. And he says that Jesus said, I am the stem and you are the branches. So how can the branch itself say that I am profitable when we are disconnected? So we can only be connected to the earth through the stem. So grace, which is loaded in Jesus, makes us connect to the source. Is that good? And then finally, number 5, what does grace do to empower us to? It gives us the assurance of qualification. It is grace that makes you know that, hey, I'm born again. I'm on my way to heaven. It's not because you are singing in church. It's not because you are praying. It is grace. It gives you the assurance of qualification. Grace empowers us with the assurance of qualification. It is what assures you that you are qualified for heaven. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. Grace gives us the assurance of qualification. 12, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And in the next verse, he says that unto me, who am less than the least of all saints,
It's this grace giving that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Grace gave him the assurance of qualification, and it made him do greater works. Close your eyes. Say, Father, your grace for greater works. Can you lift up your voice and pray? Your grace for greater works. Paro sibrada kandelebo shandalaba. Lift up your voice and pray. Pray. Grace for greater works. Grace for greater works. Grace for greater works. Grace for greater works. Shabara su atabrande kandelebo. Grace for greater works. Grace for greater works. Shabade atabrando shandalabaya. In the blessed and mighty name of Jesus. Father, endow us with grace that we might be able to fulfill greater works, the mandate of greater works, in Jesus' blessed and mighty name. We call it an amen. Prayer line will be active 3 a.m. this morning. Join and be blessed. I want you to lift up an offering unto the Lord. Brothers and sisters, our soul winning grace is being depleted. We got to work more, because it's always, I'm surprised that we come to church and then we don't have new people coming every day. You see, one of the things that show that grace is still working is when every time there are new people, we are winning, because greater works is becoming the solution of the problems of the world. And the solution of the problems of the world is embedded in Jesus. We got to draw many people to Christ. Hallelujah. Please lift up an offering unto the Lord. Your tithe, your offering, whatever it is, please lift it up unto the Lord. Eternal Father, in the blessed and mighty name of Jesus, we release your blessings over our seed, our offering, our tithe. Let it be received by heaven in Jesus' blessed and mighty name. Amen. Please drop it in with joy. God bless you for coming, for service, first service. Now, please remember, at 2 p.m., we have worker seminar. Every worker, you are a volunteer, you do anything, please come. You'll be blessed. You will be blessed. 2 p.m. Yeah, you'll be blessed. You see, Bible says that the wise will hear and increase in learning. What made the disciples turn the world around was their knowledge that they had in Jesus. Amen. So knowledge is very important, and it is from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. So please be here for it. Amen. I'm expecting that the whole place will be filled and we will have awesome time. There is something that the Lord has laid on my heart. When we are going to the next level, we need to know what it contains and many other things. Amen. So please join and then let us have it. This is our first of our workers seminar. We'll be having it consecutively, consistently. Amen. Please give the communion to first service. Okay. Give her one communion. God bless you. Father, we bless the communion. We decree and declare for the sake of our healing and our perfection. Let your hand be over it in Jesus' mighty and blessed name. Amen. Please take the communion. Shall we be on our feet? Shall we share the grace of God? The grace of our Lord Jesus. Oh, are you sharing with me? It's very powerful, oh. It's a very powerful blessing. Shall we share the grace of God together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Shall we take our prophetic declaration? With long life, full of prosperity and sound health, shall you satisfy me and my household all the days of our lives. Amen.